This is Thursday, March 28th, 2013. I'm Mike Dean. On behalf of Ken McCloskey and Peter Yim, the other co-champions for the Ontology Summit 2013 hackathon and clinics, I'd like to welcome you all to the hackathon and clinics launch program. Peter, why don't you advance to the second slide? So the hackathon and clinics are a new event for the Ontology Summit in 2013. The plan is to basically have a several 1 to 2 weekend day virtual sessions prior to the Ontology Summit Symposium, and the results will actually be outbriefed at the symposium itself. Slide 3. So we published a call for proposals, and we're quite pleased with the response. Selections were made during a telecon on March 19th, an open telecon that included most of the proposal submitters as well as people that were interested in participating in the events and other interested parties. Informally, we used several criteria for making selections. One was relevance to the Ontology Summit theme of ontology evaluation. The other was really the ability to produce a meaningful product in a day or weekend, and also favoring proposals that really involved multiple groups, and particularly folks that weren't spread out among a lot of different proposals or kind of overcommitted as well. So as a result of this discussion here, we decided to combine several of the proposals or recategorize some from hackathon events to clinics in particular. Slide 4. Some statistics here in terms of the number of submissions and the actual final selections for the events themselves. As I said, we're quite pleased with the with the response and particularly with those that were selected. Moving to slide 5. This is the list of the selections. I won't read through each of them. Basically, we'll have a presentation shortly on each of these from the champions for each of the individual projects. So moving to slide 6. In terms of the agenda, basically this is the overview here. Basically, like I said, we're going to have presentations that are about 8 minutes each from each of the champions. The presentations actually are in the scheduling order, and at the end of the session, Ken McCloskey will actually go over the actual schedule itself. So they're not in the numerical order that you see, although the slides are, just for ease of access. The presentations are kind of intended to give an overview of the project and also be a bit of a recruiting pitch, basically, for other people that might be interested in participating. So all of the events are open, and I'm sure the champions would welcome participation even by people who haven't expressed an interest yet. At the end, we'll have some Q&A and open discussion, and then wrap up at the end. So slide 7. So the authoritative source for all the information, including the schedule, is the Hackathon Clinics webpage that is linked here. That's continually being updated as the process here progresses. So let's see. That concludes my comments. So I believe the first speaker is Amanda.
So the Hackathon for Ontology of Ontology Evaluation, which you'll see in the title slide, I also had to describe that initially as the developing ontology support for ontology evaluation, because the idea of this is to produce an ontology, but it is meant to be an ontology that can support actual processes and tools for ontology evaluation. Slide two. Now, this is just some summary information. This hackathon is scheduled for this coming Saturday, with some extension into Sunday, and the optional extension. It's optional in this sense. It's definitely going to extend. Whether it will be anybody but me and Ollie will be the optional part. But we've divided the work, as you'll see in the slides coming up, into sort of separate chunks that will necessarily go into a second day. Link there to the page for the hackathon on the wiki, and some reference material we expect to use. We'll say a little bit more about that in a minute. And we will probably also use some additional remote communication and collaboration tools. There's a lot of room in choice there, and so depending on the volunteers that we get, we can be flexible about what we use there. The team at this moment is me and Ollie, and we want more people. So we get, oops, Ollie, I misspelled your name on the slide. My apologies. I will say more about that in the next two slides. Slide three, day one deliverable and activities. So this is the main hackathon day. Now, I said that the goal of this hackathon in general is to get to a useful ontology of ontology evaluation. After, you know, discussing it, thinking it over, we think that anything that we could do in that first day in terms of an actual formal ontology would not reflect the best practices that we have been discussing and advocating. So the day one activity is to develop the informal model that will then be formalized into a formal model on the extension day. So the deliverable for day one is a rigorous but informal conceptual model of significant aspects of ontology evaluation as we've been discussing them during the summit, as we've come to understand them and reflecting the insights that have come out of these discussions. So the activities for this day, this main day, are really split into two parts. One is requirements gathering, and that is a highly parallelizable task as long as it's coordinated. But this is where we expect to take the full set of volunteers and harvest our coverage requirements drawn from material that's been presented and discussed in the various summit sessions, and bring that into a single shared document that articulates, for the requirements gathering, just getting it all in one place. It doesn't have to be all sort of coherently drawn together, but so that we have a single document. We also want there to include the technical requirements for potential use by the Purple Semantic Media Wiki team, which you'll hear about later, since they are also doing a content hack. We would like to be able to provide them with usable ontology for that content hack as our immediate use case for the formalized stuff. So that's the gathering requirements part. Developing the conceptual model is the harder and whole team collaborative part, where we work on a conceptual model that we're all working on together, bringing these disparate ideas and views into a coherent whole. Contributors wanted, for this day, we could use formal and informal modelers, people who are experienced in either kind of modeling, who are willing and able to help us put the dog food together, as they say, and gather these requirements and work out the conceptual model. To a certain extent, the more the merrier. Obviously, if we got too many to coordinate, that would be maybe not merrier, but I don't think we're at risk of that. We would very much like that to have at least a handful of people. And some folks have discussed on some of the earlier sessions that their thoughts that it would be a good idea to have an ontology of ontology evaluation. I'm not going to name anybody and put you on the spot, but you know who you are, and I strongly encourage you and to throw in with us. Even if you can do just some of the time, I think we're going to be able to be flexible enough with this to be able to support certain amount of coming and going with sync up times in particular. So slide 4, be quicker on this one, the extension day deliverable and activities. The deliverable for this day is the formal ontology at minimum for the content hack, but preferably something also that's more generally usable. We will base a decision will be probably made after the conceptual model is done in terms of what language we actually formalize into. We're not going to pre-commit to that before we've got the conceptual model. So the extension day activities involve the actual formalizing, and for that we also would like additional contributors and hope that some folks with formal ontology development experience will join in. And that is it. Please feel free to contact me with any questions. Of course, you take questions on the chat today. You can also email me offline at amanda.visdom@gmail. That is all.
Okay. Thank you very much, Amanda. One comment for folks is that we've had a little confusion over the chat room. So most folks are on the 2013-03-28. So if you're not on that chat room, you may want to move over there. So our next speaker is Anatoly, I believe, or is it Victor? I'm sorry.
This is Anatoly. Victor today has no time, sorry.
Oh, okay.
And in this hackathon clinic project, I will be organizing backup for Victor because Victor is ontology champion. And I helped to him to organize something and have had advice to him how to organize this meeting. This is rather complex from our part because we have several time zones, participants, and several group of interests and rather complex activities. And let us first slide. Oh, as usual, I start to speak and have no monitoring. I see my slide. We'll control it. I see this is second slide, goal. Yes, we strictly stick to Ontology Summit goals. We want to evaluate ontology data as a goal of our event. The next slide, please. And we have difficulties with our schedule. And we start at the day in Moscow, 2 p.m. Moscow. And we understand that we will have about six people in Moscow. And we provide, Tech Invest Lab provide office, physical office. And we will be have telecommunication with about five or six people in this office. We hope to have these people all. And we understand that many other collaborators will be from Europe. And we have participants from Spain, United Kingdom, and Switzerland, and several other countries. And we hope that this will be convenient for them. This will be morning in Europe. But it will be unavailable to all our United States correspondents. And then we will have about 5 or 6 hours of activity. After this, we have 1 hour break and move physically to our home in Moscow. And then we will start another session in the evening. And we hope that American colleagues join us, but we don't know who will join us from United States or other American countries. We still not knowing who will be from America. And thus we have a main effort to our day European and Russian session. Next, and if we will have no enough time, we will use another Saturday after a week. And maybe we will have 2 day even, but not Saturday and Sunday, but Saturday and Saturday. Next slide, please. Fourth. And we choose to have small chunks of work. And we think that we will have one of the metrics or one of the tests discuss how it formulate into ISO 15926 term, but not in all term. Because this is not all semantic. This is ISO 15926 semantics. This is different. And after this, we will decide what algorithm it can be. And after this, we will implement it during hackathon. Usually this is maybe 10 lines of a text of program code, but we will try to do it in several programming tools, in several programming environments that are known to us. Maybe 2, maybe 3, maybe even 4 different programming environments for ISO 15926. And after this, we will test it on real data. This is our goal. And have recommendations, have errors, have comparisons of these evaluations in different tools. And our goal have it run on public data and submit these results of test run to the owner of the public data. This is a joint operation reference data project of PCA Association and FIATEC Consortium. This is a joint project. And next slide, 5. We have at least in Russia taking this lab team. We will have 3 people from Russia that represent .15 926 platform, and in our case, editor tool. And this is freeware, and you can have it just now from the website. And we have another realization, not even in all, but in some kind of rewritable logic. This is a tool from Agent Lab. and they will be participate in this project too, one or two people from this project. This is Eclipse-based modeling tool set. And we invited more teams and have negotiation about others. We don't know up to now who will be participate with tools and who will participate without tools. We in negotiations now, and we are well. All people are welcome. And next slide, please. Ontology, and we will have a huge data set. This is George Reference Data Library. This is big file in OWL, but not. Please do not. Mess up with this all, this semantic of this file. This is not all semantic. And you will see nothing in Protege in other all-based tools. It will be useless. But formally, this is all, but maybe not all, and RDF file. And with very special syntactic rules and semantic redefinition. But the volume of this file is comparable with OpenPsych ontology that is published. This is a very huge file. And we want simply to have different metrics counted for this file and have different checks in different tools. And this is our goal. And you can already have to download this file and try it in different tools. Next slide, please. And we have two initial task sets. First initial task set, this is original and the genius. Our community task set, because many people speak about evaluation of ISO 15926 ontologies, but usually not do it. We want simply to do it. And this is three tasks in this slide that we want to provide in this part. And the second task set, we want to have OntoClean, Aquaria, OOPS, and other methodologies. And we want to try reformulate these metrics and this text from all-based language to other language ontologies formulation to ISO 15926 language and try to implement this text. And next slide, please. This is slide 8. And what we need? Sure, we need more tests. We need appropriate metrics. And we now understand these metrics only from summit presentations, ontology summit presentations, and have no experience with all these OntoClean, Aquaria, OntoQA, OOPS, and others. And we need more tools, and we need more hands, and especially we need more expertise in evaluation. What is difficulties with what we need? We understand that most people trained in strict all-based ontologies. We are not strict all-based ontology. We have another basement, another school of thought. And we want to have not this as tutorial event. But we won't have this like hackathon and ontology clinic, and we not understand how to organize this collaboration with, for example, experts in OntoClean, Aquaria, OntoQA, and OOPs. We not now and how to do it, and we want to try. Please join us. We need you, and we need experts. Next slide, please. And deliverables, we simply report this to George. We will have code, and we think that we simply add in the usual release cycle this test code, test and metrics implementation code to our software. And we'll have a button and or menu to evaluate different resource data library. Not maybe public, but maybe private, maybe another public data set. But we want to have in start in the Hackathon, we want to lay a start to evaluation infrastructure and verification, maybe infrastructure, quality assurance infrastructure to ISO 15926 community. And this is strictly the goal of Hackathon. Next slide, please. And contacts, I have Skype, Levenchuk, simply, and Viktor Agroskin have Skype, and you see this mail address. And we will use Mikoga, and we via Skype give you the session number. Mikoga, we have about 25 people that will share screen, give a presentation, and all the things that you should expect from web conference environment. That is all. Thank you.
Thank you, Ryan and Tole. So our next speaker is Joanne Luciano.
Slide HCO2.
Hello, everyone. So I'm going to be talking to you today about our pitch here for a hackathon. We've got two things going on. We've got actually some ontology development and an exciting project on sustainable supply chain and consumer empowerment. This is the iChoose project. That's our use case. And we're using the generalized ontology framework approach to facilitate the development of it as well as evaluate it and include provenance in it. So if you go to slide two, this is a depiction of the software methodology that we employ at the Tedless World Constellation. We use it on all of our projects and use it on many to date. And if you notice, there's evaluation at the heart of it, and each iteration from the use case all the way through evolution of the product involves this evaluation component. It's now manually done by going back to talk to users, by refining things, and what I'm starting to see materialize is that the generalized ontology framework we call GEF seems to be playing a role in formalizing each of these steps a little bit more. So involvement in this hackathon will facilitate not only the framework instantiation, but any ontology you build in the future and want to include provenance in it. Next slide, please, on slide three. So this is a motivating example. The image shows a mock-up of the application leveraged on a proposed iChoose architecture. In this application, a user would be able to retrieve extra information about a product not provided in its package. The iChoose project has set out to map the entire domain of coffee production, distribution, and consumption. This would enable a consumer advocate to retrieve a number of data points on characteristics of a popular product that they would be interested in purchasing that's aligned to their own values. In our example, we're choosing child labor as the criteria. So this envisioned architecture would need to gather data from third-party certifiers and supply chain companies as well. So we're doing this work. This work is being done at the University, the State University of New York, SUNY Albany, at the Center for Technology and Government, and I've been collaborating on and advising on that project there. And I have on with us are two of the SUNY Albany PhD students, Gioco, and Nick, and I have James McAllis with me, who's a provenance expert, a PhD student at the Tedless World Constellation. So slide four, please. So for our certification use case example, what we have is the ontology that we're evaluating, the provenance that we're including in the evaluation of the ontology. So you have provenance for evaluation as well as provenance for the use case, as well as developing the framework. So there's a very nice synergistic development process going on here. So we've taken as an example, from this was presented previously, one sort of slice in the certification process. We're going to be using the Fair Trade International, also known as the Flow Standard, and part of this is a Flow certification. Nick and Joko can answer all the domain questions. So I meant I get all of that correct. So the standard relies on independent standard certification organizations, certification bodies, to verify the compliance to the standard. An application, so now I'm on slide 5. There's a certification marker label on slide 5. You'll see Fair Trade International. So an applicant wishing to receive the Fair Trade certification will be evaluated against the compliance criteria by an inspector or auditor appointed by FlowCert. So the inspector auditor follows each compliance criteria specified by the certification body, applicable to the entire the entity being evaluated. So, for example, a small producer organization. The results from this inspection or audit will be used to ultimately, it will be included in the certification decision whether or not they will grant the particular Fair Trade International label or mark that you see on the slide. Next slide is slide 6, please. This is just an overview of the certification process system. The ontology that we've developed, it's a little bit hard to read, but we're focusing on the standard and the compliant requirement criteria. Going fast because we're limited in time. The next slide, please, is slide 7. So within the certified coffee supply chain, and I apologize for the quality of the slide. It will be better when we do the next iteration for the hackathon. So within the certified coffee supply chain, certification information is extracted from each company during the certification process. So this is information pertinent to the compliance of certification criteria, and this information is kept in the database of the third-party certification. So in this case, we're looking at the Fair Trade or FLO flow, and this data is kept in the FlowCert database. So in the current situation, the data are proprietary and they're owned by each company certified by the certification. The release of the data depends on consent of the company. So iChoose will use mock-up data for the certification results pertinent to child labor, which is part of the certification that we're focusing on, as a first iteration in developing the architecture. And subsequently, the architecture will be tested against the actual data derived from the certification. So next slide, slide 8. So data provenance, in the context of iChoose, the data provenance can expose relations between consumer products and their supply chains to consumer advocates. From an encoding perspective, there are two requirements for provenance records. The presence of the lineage for the consumer product, which can be thought of as encodings for the supply chain itself, and the semantics for individual members of the lineage. Based on the supply chain that you see in this example, a provenance record in iChoose could be expected to mention retailers, roasters, traders, producers in the lineage, and it would be reasonable to expect these details of which standards these individual members are in compliance with the express and corresponding with the semantics. So at a more detailed level, determination of what should go into a provenance record is an iterative process defined by refinement both of the system use case and the user analysis needs. So a number of coding standards for provenance are presently in development, such as the W3C PRA vocabulary. And then our last slide is just gives you some idea of what we envision the user interface to look like. We're aiming in our hackathon sessions. We have two hackathon sessions. One aimed at defining the furthering the formality, formalizing of the use case, so that it contains the information that's needed for evaluation, We're looking at the iChoose application itself and getting a critique of what's been done so far. And I forgot what the first one is, so I can't remember what the last one is because I'm conscious of the time. I'm 8.5 minutes, I think. So I leave you with that. We're on the line for questions at this time at the end. I don't know. But thank you.
Thank you, Joanne. And we'll have time for questions at the end. So our next speaker is Ali Hashimi.
Hi. Slide deck
HC04A.
I'm just going to begin by saying this has been a pretty large project, and a lot of work has been done by Marcela Zaghetti, who unfortunately cannot be here today, but she's on vacation. Also, Ken Plusky, Peter Yin, Tejas, Chinya, and Soledad, they've all done a lot of work on this. I'm really just presenting the slides that Marcela and Soledad prepared. All right, so slide two. I just want to have a few words about sort of the motivation behind this. The idea of sort of last year was to make the website more accessible and facilitate access. Those might be sort of jargony words, so I just want to explain what exactly we mean by that. Ultimately, it comes down to having sort of a use case where we can better search the assets and the content that is being produced throughout the summit and better collection capabilities. So what we mean by that is that we're adding sort of a semantic provided by the ICOM ontology that you can sort of see on the right-hand box on the bottom. It's an integrated collaboration object mode. And that provides some semantic annotations for the contents and resources that are being produced on the website. So the use case might be that we can, in the future, be able to do a query and figure out who attended what, or be able to send a query to the Ontolog Summit Wiki and find out, pull all the presentations across multiple conference calls that are relevant to me. And this is a powerful step forward. And then beyond, in terms of in keeping with last year's work, which was much more basic, it was make it easier to navigate and have a pleasant environment to engage with. So on this slide, too, what you had is on the Ontology Summit website. It's transcluding content from the current Ontolog Purple Semantic Media Wiki, which is a project that is ongoing separately. And it uses the ICOM ontology to provide some semantic annotations for a subset of the artifacts and people that are participating in this year's summit. So if we go to slide three, this is the main landing page. You can find the URL at the bottom of this slide. And it just provides an overview of what's going on the summit, and it links to all the major, entity types that are defined in the ICOM ontology subset that we're utilizing. On that note, this presentation will be a bit lighter in terms of describing the ICOM. I believe Ken has an accompanying presentation following where he'll go into the details of the technology that we're using to run the website. So if you go to slide four, this just provides a graphical view of sort of what's going on and what the linkages are. The four main things that we're linking from it, the sitemap, as you will, are the resources, the activities, the team, and the deliverables. And then if we go ahead into slide five, break down what some of these sections are. So here we have seven activities listed. These activities, again, are being connected to the ICOM definition of an activity. We go further to slide six. Again, there's just the graphical view of the sitemap for this particular page. Slide seven. On this slide, basically each activity page presents information about the activity co-champions, any scheduled sub-activities that occur, and provides links to its artifacts. So here it's there's a graphical view of the vocabulary that's being used. An activity space is associated with an activity work group, which consists of a series of members, with one particular, prioritized member, which is the champion. And it's a container, the activity space is a container for a variety of activity results. Slide eight now. And I guess these slides are really just providing an overview of what we all already know, but showing how it's being captured on the website and as part of the Purple Semantic Media Wiki Ontology subset. So the summit's been partitioned into four tracks, and each track solicits participation from experts in business and academia who present the relevant material in weekly online teleconferences. So what this means is we have people, we have activities, and we have artifacts that are being produced as part of the content, and we're providing a mechanism by which to keep track of all these various things. And going back to the initial use case that was sketched out earlier, hopefully we'll be able to search and access old materials much more easily going forward. So in this case, the tracks were four tracks below, the intrinsic aspects, the extrinsic aspects, the software environment, and then building ontologies to meet evaluation criteria. If we go to slide 9, this shows sort of the decomposition of the track stage. So there's a group which composes of the people, the members, so panelists and champions. The track group itself has an associated workspace, and that workspace is organized through conference calls. And the track space has sub-spaces, which are the community input space and the synthesis space. Now on to slide 10. So this, again, is simply a page that allows us to keep track of the various hackathon projects and clinics. And again, it's capturing the relevant entities as defined in the ICOM ontology. I'm not going to go through each of the hackathons listed here, but you can read them on your own. Going to slide 11 now. Again, it's just listing all the elements that are included for the team webpage. So we're particularly interested in the members and also the subgroups that have been formed as part of the Ontology Summit. Each of these are basically named entities that we can keep track of and associate with other entities. Going down to slide 12, the resources subsection provides sort of a aggregator or a meta page that links to all the conferences, the email archive, the wiki, and the community library space. And deliverables subsection collects the resources that will be the output of the various activities that are occurring throughout the Ontology Summit. Again, these are all named entities that occur. Reside on the back end. So going to slide 14, a little bit about what would be happening throughout the hackathon. The current iteration, as Ken will describe in the next slide, is based on the Semantic Media Wiki as it has been extended to also accommodate the purple reference numbers. Right now, a lot of the annotations are provided by using an extension of the Semantic Media Wiki, which is called the Semantic Form. Basically, when you go to edit a wiki page, it's in a form format where there are structured fields, and each of those fields corresponds to either a property or a class in the ontology, and you simply input information there, and when you click save, it creates a set of triples associated with that page according to the defined ontology. There are some limitations to this, namely right now, the way it was done at first, is that a lot of the entities, or for example, every single slide where we want to have associated information in terms of who made it, what track it resides on, and so on, these require their own form to be inputted into the Purple Semantic Media Wiki. And this right now is a bit cumbersome, tedious, and a bit of a workflow bottleneck. So as part of what we hope to do during the actual hackathon day is to come up with a better way of managing the artifacts in the system and a better way of adding uploading these things as they occur. So one idea would be perhaps to have forms embedded within forms, or another one might be to simply have, let's say, a table or a turtle file or some structured form where we can programmatically and en masse add the various artifacts instead of going and instantiating a form and saving a page for each of them. So that's one of the things that we will be looking into during the hackathon. And then the other one would be to actually roll out the query mechanism. So given the fact that we have all these named entities and how they're all related to one another, maybe there are certain types of query patterns that people who are accessing the website are interested in, and maybe we should save those queries and have them be able to pull up certain relation or parameterized queries on the fly. And lastly, one of the things that we hope to do is to incorporate the ontology of oncology evaluation vocabulary, or that Amanda spoke about a couple of presentations ago, and use that as well to annotate and enrich the content that has currently been uploaded. So, for example, if we say that the ISO project displays certain ontology characteristics that have been defined according to that vocabulary, then we would be able to associate that information with the, all the content that has been generated that are associated with the ISO ontology. And then in the future, when people want to look at ontologies that fit certain types of criteria, then that particular ontology would pop up. Similarly, again, with the various tools like the OOPS or OQuery software environments, if we enrich and if we annotate that these tools satisfy these types of ontology evaluation, then again, in the future, if someone is interested in these things, they can come and query according to those characteristics that we've identified, and these tools might come up as suggestions. So these are some of the things that we're hoping to work on during the hackathon time slot that we have allotted for ourselves. And it's a pretty interesting and exciting time. It's definitely a huge improvement over what we had last year. And I'll end this by again thanking the team. So Marcela and Soledad down in Argentina, and Ken, Peter, Shinya, Tejas, and Mike, I guess in the States, and myself in Canada. Thank you, and I think that concludes my presentation.
Thank you, Ollie. Our next speaker will be Ken Bukowski.
Okay, so if you bring up the slides, they are labeled with HC04B. I'm going to talk about some of the underlying technology behind what Ali was just talking about. So if you go to slide 2, the idea is to add semantics to the Ontology Summit website. And what we're using for that is the Purple Semantic Media Wiki, PSMW, which I'll say a little bit about. And then the idea is to base the ontology on a on the ontology for collaborative systems icon that I'll also speak briefly about. And finally, we're doing a migration from Purple Wiki, which is what hosts the current Ontolog forum, to PSMW. So in slide 3, this is an explanation a little bit about PSMW. First of all, it's based on MediaWiki, the technology of Wikipedia, and many related websites, the most popular wiki software, and an extension of it called Semantic Media Wiki, which is a large European project based in Karlsruhe. So we're leveraging some, you know, really useful tools that have been developed. We're also using the Halo extension or parts of it from the Halo project, and finally the Purple Numbers that were developed by our group to provide fine-grained access. Slide 4 gives you an idea of the kinds of mappings that have been developed and are in the process of being developed, and shows you that ontologies can exist in a large number of different forms. That and the most recent one, the one I'm going to talk about today, is the mapping from an ontology, ICOM ontology, to PSMW. So as you can see, I mean, ontologies can be mapped all over the place. So this is an interesting area of work, and it really shows the real power of ontologies in all these different environments and technologies. Now, the way that it was done in the case of PSMW is we took the subset of the ICOM ontology, and together with a survey class that we're using for the Ontology Summit survey. And for each class, they're mapped to 4 pages, actually. A template page that specifies properties of the class, a form page that you can use to create new instances of the class, a category page that is used for doing the classification of pages, and finally, just an ordinary page that describes this particular concept. In addition, every property has to be mapped to a page. So there's one page for each property that defines the type of the property and explains what the purpose of the end property is. Now, this would be, creating all of these pages would be very difficult and error prone. So I actually have a web service translator to translate, uses the web services to upload and update the generated pages. The hope is that during our hackathon clinic, we can extend this to make it easier to manage the pages on the website because of the kind of, people might not actually be that familiar with the wiki technology. And so extending the ontology can be quite difficult considering that you have to have so many auxiliary pages. So having a translator and the making use of this translator could have some real impact on the maintenance of the pages on the website. So that's one of our kind of main goals in the hackathon clinic. The last slide, slide six, shows you what the ontology looks like from kind of a diagrammatic point of view. It doesn't show all the properties that would, because there are quite a few. It just shows the basic classes and their relationships to one another. And there's some annotations on there that explains how these various classes are intended to be used. Okay, so thank you very much. And Mike Dean.
Okay, thank you, Ken. Our next speaker will be Joel Bender.
This is about the BACnet ontology hackathon, and it was suggested that I sort of give a brief overview of what BACnet is and what I want to do on building an ontology for it. So this is sort of the 20,000-foot view, well, let's see what happens. All right, next slide, please, page two. So BACnet is a standard for communications with and between microprocessor-based building automation and control systems. The BACnet development effort began back in the early 1980s with Mike Newman at Cornell. After being frustrated with the process of defining protocol drivers for the early energy management and control system, which is one place where an operator can supervise all of the buildings on campus with a single operator interface rather than using multiple head ends, one for each vendor. It is developed as an ASHRAE standard and has since been adopted as an American national standard and a European standard in 30 countries or so, and is also an ISO standard. So it has a formal model in the sense that all the individual components are well-defined, even if they don't necessarily use the same meaning as they would in other disciplines. It has its own lexicon, so there's a bit of a learning curve. It's relatively thick when you print it out. It's a couple of inches thick, so it's quite a bit to take on. It does have a lot of tutorial information, or probably a lot more than what you might find in other standards. So it does not have a formal description of the model in, you know, an interpretable format. So this is my attempt to do that. I'm picking OWL to start with, just because I need to start somewhere. We'll see whether or not that works out. So the standard uses ASN1 for both normative and informative sections for completely different purposes, where it's used to describe the protocol data units, the actual messages between devices. It uses lots of bizarre statements within ASN1 to do that. So there's a bit of a ASN1 as a formal is sort of a formal descriptive text rather than something that can actually be analyzed. Next slide, please. Slide three.
The slide is up.
Oh, it is. Oh, yep, my client.
You may have to refresh your screen to see.
Yep, I got it. Thank you, Peter. This shows that BACnet is basically divided into three layers, a data link and media layer that runs across a wide variety of different media types, including a few that it defines itself that are, you know, late 1980s, early 1990s technology of very cheap serial connections. And as it has moved on, it has sort of adopted other data link layers, like Lontoc from the Echelon Corporation and Zigbee from the Zigbee Alliance. The IP box that you see over on the right-hand side is a virtual link layer that allows any device that uses the Internet protocol to participate in the BACnet network. And masks a lot of the configuration information like subnet masks and broadcast domains and that kind of thing from the rest of BACnet. So the intent is, of course, to be able to communicate across very cheap, inexpensive serial networks within buildings, all the way out to, you know, workstations and servers and clusters of machines up the IP layer. Next slide, please. So a large portion of the standard is dedicated to defining its own link layer, the so-called master's layer token passing ring. And there are other portions of the standard that are just to describe how to use it with custom packet types for Ethernet and ARCNET, which were still mostly coax at the time, and very expensive. And of course now, you know, what, 20 years later, a lot of things have changed. Wait, has it been 20 years, Mike? Holy crap, it's been 20 years. Okay, sorry. Layer violations, like the fact that the MAC address appears up in the application layer of the protocol, is a fact of life for embedded systems, but it makes modeling a challenge, because you have to talk to, you know, both talk about a device and talk to a device. So there are, you know, pieces of the way things are described in BACnet that make it hard to make generalizations about. There's also some more work in the committee dealing with IPv6 128-bit addresses, which is going to be quite a bit of a challenge for lots of these devices. So even though, you know, so I'm describing this as a link layer, it's out of scope for the hackathon because the audience for this initial work is at the enterprise integration layer. And so even though it's part of the standard, it's not going to be included in this first crack at it. Next slide, please. Working up the stack, BACnet defines its own concept of a network, which is similar to what you might find in industrial automation and process control domains. Network identifiers are these fixed-sized little concepts. They're, you know, fixed small little integers to keep headers manageable over very, you know, bandwidth-constrained networks, but they make it a challenge when you're modeling control systems up at the enterprise level. Because, you know, eventually you start to run out of address space and you have to do a lot of other things. So hopefully, you know, by defining something that can be used at an enterprise level, then it can kind of abstract away a lot of these other kinds of link layer and network layer details. Like the MAC layer, the network layer information drifts up into the application layer so that can make it the same kind of modeling challenge. So the network layer is out of scope. But only out of scope in so much as that the information out of the network layer is going to propagate up into the application layer. Next slide, please. Slide 6. So BACnet collapses the upper layers of the ISO 7 layer model, which is also not unusual. It doesn't have a session presentation layer as such. And one of the great features of it in terms of the definitions of the components of BACnet is that it is self-descriptive, so self-describing. So for system integrators, they can, you know, put a device inside a network and gather all of the information about its configuration, or at least much of it, over the network. And so a lot of the things that are presented over the wire are parts about the way that device has been configured that will be reflected in the model. So like other kinds of issues, BACnet, you know, suffers from naming problems. There's a couple of different ways of referring to devices depending on your viewpoint. There's a couple of different ways of looking at objects depending on the scope of what it is you're trying to solve. There's an overlap between property identifiers that are used, and the specific kind of property it is. There's some other challenges about the fact that the interpretation of the data type is something that's done over the wire instead of done in the modeling layer. Let's see. Slide 7, please. So this is a description of some of the intrinsic challenges that I see. And going forward, it's going to be data type mapping, understanding how enumerations are used as type indicators and values and states, how to understand the way BACnet describes its object model, and optional and required properties, constrained and unconstrained data types. So there are some pieces about mapping this into OWL specifically that are barriers to my understanding of the way ontologies are developed. Using OWL, and, you know, we may run across some situations where OWL is insufficient for describing it. So next slide, please. So for the intrinsic challenges, this project is supposed to lay the groundwork for other two fairly significant related efforts within the building automation industry. The first is abstracting this into modeling what is being measured and how it's being measured for performance of the building automation systems themselves. A lot of people see the value in large-scale sensor networks and gathering lots of data for data mining. And even focusing inside the building envelope, vendors that focus on automation for fume hoods and vivariums and freezers have fairly rich vocabularies and overlapping terms, and all of them would like to be able to present their data using BACnet. And people that have BACnet in an enterprise level would like to be able to take advantage of this data. So at some point, you know, systems integrators like us here at Cornell are going to demand better descriptions of what it is that's coming off these boxes and what form it's in. And I see a great facility in being able to use ontology labels for doing that. The other sort of larger scope project is there's another ASHRAE standards effort for developing a so-called facility smart grid information model, which is the relationship between a facility and the facility owners and a national smart grid for understanding how building energy usage and cost information and can be shared amongst a national smart grid. Next slide, please. Oh, Steve Ray, which unfortunately apparently is not on the conference call today, has been doing that work within the ASHRAE committee for the facility smart grid, and he's graciously agreed to join my team, so I definitely look forward to work with him on that. So there's a SourceForge project for this effort because I wanted an easy way of making updates to my OWL files and RDF files and whatever else the team thinks would be a good format to be able to deliver this, and it provides mailing lists and those kinds of things. So please feel free to visit the website and join the mailing list, and I look forward to working with everyone. Thank you.
Thank you, Joel. Our next speaker will be Mike Bennett.
Right. So
slide HCO3.
Yep, it's up. Thank you. Good. So basically, this clinic is looking at the evaluation of the FIBO, Financial Industry Business Ontology, with the OOPS and OQUERE and OntoQA and any other tools that come to mind. So slide two, please. Basically, I'm just going to run through a brief description of what we're doing, a couple of screenshots from the different collaborators, a look at the different ontologies that are involved, and what we aim to achieve out of this. Slide three. The description of what we're aiming to do is the three or four components we're bringing together here. So we've got the FIBO ontologies. I'll describe in a little more detail in a moment. But basically, we have a couple of formal ontologies that are really just in an early draft stage at the moment. There's a lot of work to be done. And really, we see this clinic as an opportunity to look at what the different tools and quality measures are and how we can develop a formal methodology for the development of FIBO ontologies going forward. So this is very much not the production version of any of these FIBO ontologies that we're talking about, but a way of exploring how we can frame the relevant quality measures for the relevant kinds of ontology and which of the tools and techniques can be applied to that. So in the OOPS tool, that's got a formal ways of looking at different ontology pitfalls. We'd like to see which of those apply to conceptual ontologies and which of them can be applied to our various operational ontologies and make use of that. And the OQUERE framework has a complete quality model with various dimensions, and we again need to look at how to apply those as part of the formal approach for validating aspects of the FIBO ontology and identify which of the sub-characteristics and metrics of that are relevant to the different kinds of ontology that we're looking at. And likewise, we're onto QA. There's a number of things in there that we need to figure out which of them are which. So slide four, the collaborators in the project. So on the EDM Council side for the financial industry business ontology, there's myself, Mike Bennett from the Enterprise Data Management Council, and I should confess that up until about today or yesterday, this hackathon clinic proposal has been very much in autopilot, so I've literally just started to round up a posse of people familiar with the FIBO development side of things to bring a bit more of a perspective to bear on that. On the OOPS side of things, we have Mary Carmen Suarez Figueroa and Maria Povedo Villalón from the Universidad Politécnica de Madrid in Spain. From OCLAIR, we have Josualdo Tomás Fernández-Brace and Astrid Duque Ramos from the University of Murcia in Spain. And also from OntoQA, we've got Samir Tartir from Philadelphia University, Jordan. We're open to working with any others as well. The aim is to look at these very early drafts of our ontology and try and build a set of processes and methods around validation for those ontologies. Slide five. So the next few slides are just a quick overview of the different collaborators. So the OOPS tool, first of all, this is a web-based tool. It allows one to enter URIs for the ontology material, and it scans and comes up with a list of interesting possible pitfalls. For example, slide six. This is just an example screenshot to give an idea of the sort of things that we're looking at. So you enter the ontology location in the input area, slide seven, and it comes back with a list of possible shortfalls in the ontology. So the example here, which is quite a good one, is that, as I'll explain when we look at FIBO in a bit more detail, it's primarily the FIBO business conceptual ontology is basically an attempt to capture business domain terms and definitions and so on, and we focused on how to present that to the business domain. And so there will be a lot of places, if you look at the example pitfall 13, missing inverse relationships, we tended to have put in the relationships as they make sense to the business. Have we always gone back and put in the inverses for any relationships that are not symmetric? No, we probably haven't. So a tool like this will give us a good checklist of things that need to be fixed in the model in order to bring it into a good shape. So that's going to be very very productive for us. I'll come back to a little bit more on the kinds of pitfalls to look at or not look at, because one of the things we need to consider is which of the quality requirements that apply to a business conceptual ontology should or should not be looked for in that kind of ontology. I'll explain that in a moment. So next slide, please. So then we come to the OCLAIR framework, which sets out a formal framework for defining what are the evaluation criteria. So as I see it, we'll probably start with this, look at what quality criteria we want to apply to the conceptual ontology and to individual application-ready operational ontologies that come as part of what we're working on in FIBO. If we look at slide nine, there's a diagram there that sets out what are the different sets of criteria, so compatibility, transferability, etc., etc. Most of these, we believe, should apply to the FIBO business conceptual ontology as a business standard for defining the meanings of financial industry terms and definitions. Some of them may be things that apply more properly to an individual OWL-based application, some of which may or may not be applicable to the conceptual ontology. So part of the first part of our hackathon will be going through these dimensions of quality of working out. So, for example, consistency, we want to be sure that the business ontology is consistent, that there are no cycles of relationships and so on. So if you go to slide 10, the third collaboration is the Onto QA quality framework, and I'm less familiar with this. As I say, I've really just been playing catch up with this whole clinic proposal at the moment, but the Onto QA framework applies quality measures both to an ontology schema and to a knowledge base. Now, FIBO doesn't include a knowledge base. We don't model individuals. We simply model classes and relationships between them. So if we look at the next slide, slide 11, there's a number of things that are looked at by Onto QA, the schema, the knowledge base, the class metrics, and so on. So we'll need to go through these alongside the OQUER measures and identify which of them are applicable. So if you look at slide 12, there's just a quick outline of the different metrics that applied at the schema level and the instance level. And since FIBO is a conceptual model and also only covers classes and not instances or individuals, some of these won't be applicable and some of them will. So again, the early part of our hackathon will be working out which of these measures should be applied. Now, slide 13, and maybe I should have covered this slightly earlier, but we have the ontologies that are involved. Firstly, I should mention that we've been developing this as a business ontology using a tool set that's based on the UML tools in order to be able to provide business-facing views of the ontology content. And we're just in the process, literally starting next week, of migrating this to another set of tools from which we can more reliably get RDF-OWL representations of the content. So what we'll see in this hackathon is a very, very early iteration of that work. And we're really more concerned at this stage with looking at what the tools can do, looking at the framework for the different dimensions of quality, and looking at how those would apply to these draft FIBO models. So please don't think that what you're seeing in FIBO is the final version of anything. The first ontologies, the ones that we intend to bring to this hackathon, we have two styles of ontology that we recognize. There's what we call a business conceptual ontology. Now this, we looked at various ways of capturing business terms and definitions at a semantic level. How can we best frame the meanings of concepts without regard to any semantic technology application considerations? And we decided that the best language to use for this was the OWL language. So we use a very small subset of the available constructs in OWL. We have classes and object properties and data type properties and a couple of other things. We don't, for example, use restrictions on object properties simply because there's no obvious way to present that to the business domain expert as things currently stand. That may change, and some of the ways in which we've limited our use of OWL, we may be able to go back to these conceptual ontologies and put more of those kinds of concepts in as and when it's possible to frame those in a way that can be presented to the business domain expert. So this is, I mean, you might simply want to call this a vocabulary of an ontology. We're not really so worried about the name, but it is in OWL. It will be an RDF OWL, and we want to identify which of the quality measures should apply to these conceptual ontologies. And then separately from that, and depending on what's available at the time, we've got some, again, very prototypical operational ontologies. These are RDF-OWL ontologies derived indirectly from the conceptual ontologies, but optimized for use in applications. And so for those, of course, all of the typical measures that are applied to an ontology would quite rightly apply to those. Depending on what's available, we hope to bring perhaps business entity, some corporate control and ownership, and possibly interest rate swaps ontology. That's got to be confirmed from the folks who are doing that part of the work, of course. Slide 14, I'm not seeing this updated, but I'm hoping it rather is. So just to reiterate, what is really the main point of what we're trying to do here is that, similar to what we saw with the ISO 15926 or, you know, some of those other ontologies, we've really focused primarily on capturing business knowledge. And from a systems development point of view, this is a conceptual model, not a logical model, not a physical model. And to make that more generic, the distinction is between a model of the problem space and a model of some solution. So clearly with OWL ontologies, you can take a lot of the representation of real-world concepts in the problem space and apply them to solutions. But as soon as you apply any application constraints, so, you know, reasoner-based constraints, for example, on what design patterns are used in the ontology, then that becomes a model of an application or a solution, not a model of the problem. And we expect to have both. In terms of a standard, because this is an industry standard of business terms and definitions, we have deliberately, and for good reason, not tried to reflect any application constraints, so DL safe and things like that, onto the conceptual ontology, but we do expect to then be able to derive operational ontologies from that. Now, there's a couple of other things, compromises we've made for in order to be able to present this to business subject matter experts. As I mentioned, we don't use property restrictions because that is a very modeler-centric way of thinking about things that can't be easily presented to the business. So instead, and there's also a tool limitation that whereas object properties in OWL are first-class objects that can be used in more than one place, when we've created individual object properties, each one has only one domain and one range. And so we've used a lot of object properties with long names where a typical OWL application would quite rightly use a much smaller number of object properties with restrictions on those. As a byproduct of that, it also means that we aren't always able to distinguish what are the necessary conditions or necessary and sufficient conditions for something to be in a given class. Now, some of those kinds of compromises, particularly the ones that are based on what the tool can or can't do, we should be able to reverse, provided only that they don't impact on the conceptual nature of the conceptual model. So one of the things I'm hoping to get from this clinic is that we get a catalogue of things which are how they are now because of these tooling and presentation requirements, but which could be changed and reversed as and when there are ways of presenting these more complex OWL restrictions, for example, to a business audience. Meanwhile, the operational ontologies are, of course, intended to be used in OWL reasoners and so should conform with all the application-specific operational quality requirements. So just to really summarize on that, some of the things you'd want to look for should be applied to everything. Do you have circular paths? Are there conflicts? Things like that. Is it consistent? Is it complete? Are there missing inverse properties and so on? A lot of those kinds of requirements should be applied to the business conceptual ontology, but some of them, like any sort of reasoning-based, can it be reasoned over in finite time and that sort of thing, are not. And so we need to spend some time in this hackathon formally defining that kind of quality process. So next slide, and that's the way of time here as well. So to summarize, our objectives here are to, it says evaluation of the conceptual ontologies. I should really have emphasized that these are very much an early draft to give us an idea of what this process will look like. So basically, we'll be evaluating, identifying the relevant quality metrics, identifying which tools can be used to apply those different metrics, applying them to the business entities ontology, which is the first of a whole family of ontologies. So further down the line, we'll have securities, derivatives, and so on. We'd like to be able to apply the methodology that we develop to the development and completion of those ontologies. And really, what we want to get out of this is the elements of some formal methodology. The operational ontologies, again, identify the relevant quality measures, presumably all of them, apply them to a couple of the example ontologies that we have, depending on what can be made available, and also show how these relate to the use case of the application. One really ambitious idea is that part of what we get out of this would be a better definition of the formal conformance points in the upcoming OMG specifications, so that different vendors can say that their application is conformant to FIBO, and there are formal ways of measuring that. Next slide, please. So really, that's the goals and so on. Define the formal requirements of a business conceptual ontology. Identify what shape it's in at the moment. So look at things that can be changed at this point in time. A checklist of things to help us complete this current iteration of the standard from the current draft to a more complete version. And also a checklist of things that we could change when there are better ways of presenting certain L constructs like restrictions to subject matter experts. Also formally define the design requirements for operational ontologies, possibly other considerations like how we prove that an operational ontology is conformant with the business semantics and the business conceptual ontology, which has more nuanced concepts like rights and commitments and so on that don't correspond to data, and arrive at a sensible set of transformations, repeatable transformations to get from the conceptual ontology to our applications. And as I say, see if we can arrive at material that goes in the formal OMG specification. And really, slide 17, maybe repeating some of this again, the deliverables are formal methodology components for those different activities that I just described, possibly formal conformance points for the specification, and some more useful development how-to material for people using or extending FIBO in applications or as local conceptual models. And understanding how these different quality tools can be used formally within that process. So slide 18, this is really just a vital first step in us developing our formal methodology and identifying how to use tools and techniques like OOPS and OQR and Onto QA and framing them as a formal life cycle. So that's it from me. Sorry, that was slightly longer than I intended, but hopefully that gives you a sense of what we're hoping to achieve with this this clinic.
Okay. Thank you, Mike. And our next speaker will be Tomasz Sikowski.
Okay. There are the slides. So HCO7 is about the integration of OntoHub, OOR, and OOPS. And the main collaborators are Maria Poveda Villalon for OOPS and Ken Vaklaski for OOR and myself for OntoHub. Slide 2, please. So the Open Ontology Repository OOR is a joint effort lasting for several years now for an ontology repository that significantly goes beyond BioPortal, for example, by allowing not only OWL and OWL-related languages, but also more complex and expressive languages like Common Logic, by being decoupled into a number of different services, by allowing federation of several repositories, and so on. An architecture of OR and an API has been available for some time, and current implementations are BioPortal itself and the recent project called OntoHub. So OntoHub is the second involved project. It's a web-based repository engine for distributed ontologies and also for ontologies written in different languages. For example, there are bio-ontologies which are written in OWL, but there are certain properties that can be only expressed in first order logic, so they have comments in first order logic interspersed, and in OntoHub you can write down such ontologies in a formal way so that you really have a formal relation between the OWL part and the first order part. And a prototype of OntoHub is available at ontohub.org, and the midterm goal is that we will follow the OR architecture and API by decoupling this into several services. Okay, and the third involved project is OOPS, basically, which you already heard in the previous talk by Mike, so I won't repeat this here. And the nice thing is that Maria has provided an XML-based web service so that you don't need to use the human interface based on HTML, but you can also speak directly with OOPS from a machine-to-machine way. Slide 3, please. So the expected deliverables are twofold. The first one is basically a new API that also allows OOPS to integrate with OntoHub or 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 other possible evaluation tools. And so we should start with the BioPortal API, which is the simultaneously the current OR API, integrate OntoHub's perspective, because OntoHub supports multiple ontology languages, and for example in common logic it not necessarily is meaningful to speak about classes and properties, because there you have names and sequence markers, and then the question is, what does this mean for the API? There are some suggestions there, but that needs to be discussed. And a second big point is the API should also integrate evaluation and reasoning services, for example, like OOPS, that you can call them. So currently the BioPortal API is basically a kind of monolithic in so far that it is only about services that BioPortal itself provides and not about services that some other tool might provide and that might be related or integrated to BioPortal. And here we would have the situation that, say, OntoHub has a certain API and OOPS has a certain API, and how to standardize this. The second point will be the actual integration of OOPS into OntoHub by displaying the OOPS output within OntoHub, preferably if you look at certain classes or properties in OntoHub, that you directly get displayed the OOPS output. And of course we want to implement this in OntoHub with a code and also provide this online at ontohub.org. Slide 4, please. So the work plan is to use the whole day on Saturday, April the 13th. Actually, the idea is to start with an ad hoc integration of OOPS and OntoHub. OOPS already has an API which is documented, which is XML based and RESTful, I think. And therefore we decided to start very early, one a.m. PDT, but Central European time is 10 a.m. and we will discuss with Maria and the OntoHub team in Bremen what to do there and prepare some integration. And just count on other people joining in later. For this integration, we will use the OntoHub codebase and issue tracker at GitHub. It's not github.org, but github.com, sorry. And for OOPS, we will use the API. Then during the whole day, we will have some agile development. That means multiple concept implementation feedback loops. And therefore, we will deploy a version at staging.ontohub.org, which always is up to date with respect to the recent developments. And we will use the issue tracker at GitHub. Again, it's github.com, sorry. And so we especially look for people providing this feedback there, and therefore, yeah, with the feedback, we will have an improved implementation there. Okay, and then at 4 a.m. PDT, which is 1 p.m. CET, Ken can actually join us for 2 hours, and then we will discuss about the API and basically work on the first deliverable, as indicated on the previous slide, and probably we will need a Skype conference there and also some wiki page for the API. I'm not sure where exactly to put this. This should be fixed until hackathon. Okay, that's it. Many thanks.
Okay, thank you, Till. That concludes our project presentations. Our next presentation will be Ken Bukowski talking about the scheduling and process for the hackathons.
All right, so there's, if you bring up the slides, there's one that says Hackathon Clinics process schedule.
That's the slide deck marked one chair.
One chair, yeah. Okay, so now if you go to slide two, as some of the panelists have already, some of the speakers have already mentioned, there's a suggested project organization that each project will take one full day, Saturday, and an optional second day. So each project has an announced start time, end time, and time for an open webcast segment. So in a moment, I'll show you a chart with all of the open webcast segments. During that open webcast segment, there will be a kickoff, usually at the beginning of the open webcast segment. And then depending on the project, this will last 30 minutes to an hour and three quarters. generally speaking, some of the projects are actually ongoing. They've been, so the hackathon is just kind of a culmination of their efforts, and they probably don't need much of a kickoff, whereas, others, clearly we need a much more time to actually get the whole thing going. Anyway, during this early segment, during the kickoff, they'll brief the participants on the goals, the mission, the tasks, and if there's an expert panel, they will also be involved in this process. At that point, you then break into smaller groups to do the real work with sync-ups at midday and end day. Slide number three, a little bit more about the suggested project organization, the kind of tasks that will take place during the schedule, and during the various sync-ups. One important thing is that at the end of the process, the results should be consolidated, the person or persons be assigned to prepare the symposium report, and the symposium will then be presented, there will be a presentation at the Ontology Summit Symposium, the face-to-face meeting. That should last approximately 15 to 20 minutes. Slide four, a number of the clinics have expert panels that we have invited to consult on the project. And the invited panelists are listed on the slide. We have received some a number of acceptances, and unfortunately some of them some of the invited panelists were not able to attend. As I said, some of the projects are ongoing, and therefore we didn't have an expert panel for them. There's also a tools expert panel we'll work with the teams to provide tool support for ontology evaluation. Slide 5 gives a brief idea of an example of the project day. Not all of the projects will precisely follow this schedule, but it gives you an idea of what we hope to have in the various projects. Slide six. This is a kind of a nice schedule, kind of a chart that shows you the scheduling. Since there are a lot of time zones involved, they're organized here by UTC time. Notice that they are staggered in their start times by 2-hour intervals. This makes it possible for individuals to be at the on an expert panel in 2 of the projects that are happening on the same day. So on Saturday you have the ISO 15296 and ontology of ontology evaluation. On the second week, Saturday, the April 6th, there are another 2 projects, the Ontolog PSMW ongoing project and the general ontology evaluation framework. Then on slide 7, the final day, I believe that's April 13th, not 11th, sorry about that. There will be 3 projects. The integration project, OntoHub OR, oops. The FIBO project, that's also an integration project. And finally, the BACnet ontology. Slide number 8. There are various facilities and workspaces. Some of the speakers have already discussed this. There's a wiki and a conference bridge for voice communications. There are chat rooms that are available for the clinics. And there's also a shared file storage area for shared files to be accessed. And on that last one, make sure you check the access details so that you can get access to them. One of the problems that we often encounter is that individuals will store them, give a link, and then you'll forget that you have to modify the link sometimes appropriately in order to get access. So check those details to make sure that you understand how to use the shared project, shared file space. So let's move to questions. Mike?
Okay, thank you, Ken. So let's see, I think we've got about 10 minutes here for questions and so forth. Let's see, I see a couple hands up on the chat session.
Yes, Joanne.
Hi there. So my question is, I see a lot of people asking for a lot of help, of course. That's what our session today was about. But I just looked on our website, and we don't seem to have a lot of people signed up to help. Do we have a sense about whether we'll be, you know, hacking at our own navels, to coin a new expression, or are we really going to have viable hackathons? I should just add that I just posted this on the Public Semantic Web Healthcare and Life Science site. Just to bring attention there was a huge conversation about OWL SAMAS, and I thought, you know, there's a lot of expertise there that if we could harness it and get some of that energy and from that community to help out in these hackathons, that would be great. So,
right. There's several cases where I've reached out to other communities, so like the SMW community and also the BACnet community. So we encourage people, I think, that they can add their names to the individual hackathon projects. You know, if they wanted to announce their interest in advance, that would certainly be helpful for coordination. I expect particularly kind of given the weekend nature that, you know, some people may decide at the last minute if they're, you know, able to participate and decide to call in as well. So you probably have, hopefully have some drop-ins, too. And, but certainly, recruiting more people, is also welcome.
So one thought that, James McAllister and I were just sort of brainstorming while the call was going on, that we're going to see if we can hold a local event in addition to the, you know, the online event. So, for example, you know, we have expertise here at the Constellation. I have no idea, but I'm going to try to entice people with some, you know, cookies and pizza and whatever to participate locally. So I put that out. I put both those things out there to just, you know, my great fear is that, you know, we're all sitting around. We could even be helping each other, you know, but we're not because we're sitting around waiting to get some help. That's just a big fear. That's all.
Yeah. No, I think
that I don't want realized.
I think that's a great idea to have, you know, physical presence. I know that they're planning to do that in Moscow as well. So
that's true. That's right. Yeah.
Yes, and there will be an attempt to get tool support available for the projects, as well as, of course, the expert panels. So I hope that would help with what you're looking for, Joanne.
I don't know. We'll see. So yeah, I guess, do we have sign up sheets for these individually or not? I know we have that list at the end, but
I would suggest that people actually add it to that. There's a page on the wiki for each of the hackathon projects. I suggest that people add their names there. You know, that's essentially the authority source for each of the projects.
Okay. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you. Let's see, Dennis. Dennis, we're not hearing you yet. Let's see, I do see your comment in the chat that the FIRO project is to evaluate the potential of the tool, not the ontology itself.
Okay, yes, thank you. What I wrote is that the intention is to look at the potential for the tools, each of which are a fairly early stage, not to look at where FIBO is right now, which is also in an early stage and going through a formal evaluation and standards process all of its own, just to make that clear.
Thank you.
Maybe because I didn't really pay much attention to the title, but the abstract says this ontology clinic aims to explore the application of ontology quality measures to ontologies produced under the FIBO umbrella. So the description is right, but the title, as Dennis says, maybe gives the wrong impression.
Okay. I think if you want to suggest an update to the title, we could certainly capture that on the project page and the materials going forward.
Great. I'll update the title of the wiki page itself for that session. Thanks.
Thank you. Okay. Peter?
Yeah, I am trying to reiterate that same point. Now that we have the 7 selected projects and each project has its own homepage, I would look forward to the project champions to use that homepage as the go-to place for their project. If you have message to send to a targeted audience, you have information to tell, like, where is the chat board, or maybe during the day, where can we find you guys? I mean, if you're on Skype, I mean, how can we get in and so on? Post that on that homepage, project homepage, and if anyone is interested in participating, they will be able to see it. Since there's 7 of them in the coordination and championship is now distributed, so the project champions, please try to promote and recruit the best way you can. The co-champions of the whole program, Mike, Ken, and myself, had made a first attempt to invite a bunch of panelists whom we think would contribute well to each project. And as, for example, Joanne could see, we made an attempt to invite Michel Dumontier, who has SADE expertise, to join you, but quite unfortunately, he had come back and say he's not available. So if you look at that slide number 4, where the names are grayed out, it's the people we invited who could not make it. This another shade of gray. I mean, the black ones are the people who have confirmed, and this sort of very slightly grayed names are the people you haven't heard back from. So if you can, since you see the list and if you like those names to your expert panel, write directly to them. If you don't have their email addresses, ping me. All right, that's all I need to say.
Thank you, Peter. And Joel, you had some comments as well?
Yeah, only that I was pulling myself back from volunteering for other kind of hackathon projects just because I didn't understand what the schedule was going to be like and what kind of time commitment was going to be. But now that that has, is starting to iron itself out, I'm able to rearrange my schedule. So, Joanne, I'm looking forward to working with you and Amanda and some of these other projects. I'll be lurking probably because I don't have enough expertise to make any substantial contributions. But hopefully you'll be able to get more folks like me to join in with the effort.
Excellent. Thank you, Joel.
So maybe each project champion could have a sign up place near the top of their page for people to sign their life away there.
Or at least a portion of the weekend. So, okay, we're, let's see, at the end of our 2-hour allocated time here, I did have one announcement that registration for the Ontology Summit Symposium as either a local participant in Gaithersburg or as a remote participant is now open. So there's a link on the Ontology Summit webpage, and Ram also sent out a message to several of the email lists, I think, during the telecon here as well. So we encourage folks to go ahead and register as soon as possible for the on-site. Anyway, there is a there is a deadline about a week and a half before the actual event. So anyway, thank you to all of our speakers. All of the people that have been involved in the proposal process, and all of you, and you know, we look forward to having great events with the Hackathons and Clinics. Bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.